at Calvary. Have you left it there? If you have, what are you doing with it? The gospel, the one thing that can save us from ourselves. No matter the life we live, it's the one certain truth that's there. We'll find ourselves in sin at some point inevitably. It is unavoidable. No matter how much we may believe that we do not fall into the trap of sin, we're broken. And we're going to fall into the trap. If you have your Bibles handy, would you turn with me to John chapter 3, verse 16? You know the verse, right? John chapter 3, verse 16. You know, try as we may, we're going to fail. But these verses say this. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For every one that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Let's pray. Father God, we're thankful today that you've given us the opportunity to leave it at Calvary. Father, that in our failure, in our sin, in our brokenness, you've provided us a way out. And Father, I'm praying today that we not become so content when we have made that decision that we don't do anything with it. Father, may we carry your truth. May we put it on our shoulders and may we carry it. Father, may we be your hands and feet today. And Father, if there's one here who doesn't know you, they've not left it at Calvary. Father, I pray that as we have already heard through your worship today, and we're going to hear through your word today, may we leave it at the cross. Father, be with us, lead us and guide us through your word. I say this in your name. Amen. So here's the miracle I want to talk about today. Worked out great that at Calvary was the last song that we did, because that's the very miracle we're going to discuss. God made a way out of our brokenness. This was the one truth that we can always bank on. We know it's there. He gave us a way out. Our sin not only broke us, but it broke the world. When Adam and Eve sinned, the world began to see the consequences of the sin in which they did. One of the first consequences that was found was when God promised that a man would bruise the enemy's head in Genesis 3:15. To quote that verse, it says, "And I will put enmity between thee and thy woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." The truth of this is found that there would now be a battle between Satan and those who seek to live for Christ. Sin would always be there. Temptation would always be there. And as we see what this brokenness has done to the world around us, we now have to pose the question, what did God need to do about it? As He saw sin enter His creation, God could have given up. Remember, Shane said, and I'm glad he reminded me of that, because I forgot about that lesson. But you reminded me of it. A semicolon and a but. He could have gave up on us. He could have left us there. He could have forgotten about us. His creation had failed Him by sinning. They had departed His design and began to live a life pleasing unto themselves, and He could have left us. But God thankfully didn't give up on us. He began to determine a path to get us back to Him. The first institution of this plan was animal sacrifice. God sacrificed an animal, shed its blood to make coverings for Adam and Eve. Genesis 3:21 said, "Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothes to them." God sacrificed the animal and made clothes out of it for Adam and Eve. This is the proto-evangelium or first gospel. The first bloodshed had happened. It had set an example to Adam and Eve. In order for man to be clothed and to be made pure, this animal had to die. There had to be bloodshed. The precedent that is set was that in order for mankind to achieve purity, bloodshed must be a part. And this carried on for the foreseeable future. Man was broken, and this was an ongoing symbol of our brokenness. But this first gospel could only take us so far. God found another way, a way that shows how much He really cared for His creation. God loves us and sent His one and only Son to shed His blood and to cover sin once and for all. In the verse we read, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." This was the hope that the world needed. It was the only truth that a world of sin could find a way to redemption that no longer required a constant blood sacrifice, because Jesus was the blood sacrifice. The only way to solve this was that our God had to give His Son for us. Now think back. When we sinned, God could have ended it. He could have ended it all. He could have said, "They failed. Didn't work out. Let's stop where we're headed." But He didn't. Instead, even in our sin, He loved us. Because He loved us so much that He gave us the gospel. And the gospel is simply Jesus died for our sins, was buried, and God raised Him from the dead. Let's talk about Jesus' story for a minute. Brought to this earth as the Messiah through a virgin birth, He was all man and He was all God. He did something that none of us have ever been able to achieve, and frankly never will. He lived a perfect sinless life. In the years of life that Jesus lived, He was the one human who was never broken. He was never sinful. Now, the truth of this hope is that He brings us in and gives us an opportunity to come to know Him. After living this perfect sinless life, He was brought to Calvary's cross on charges of blasphemy, being found of the crimes that He did not commit. Our God was mocked, abused, and led to the cross of Calvary where He died. This hope is the one truth that can save us. The gospel saves us from our sins. The gospel is simply our only hope to ever become whole again. Will remind us of a thought that I had last week through this series. We are a Humpty Dumpty people group. Think of it. Poor Humpty Dumpty, no matter how hard he tried, everyone tried to put him back together, right? He fell off the wall, he broke. All the king's horses, all the king's men couldn't put Humpty back together again. We know how it goes. So no matter how hard they tried to put him back together again, they couldn't do it. That's where we're at. We're broken. And no matter how much we try, no matter how much the world around us tries, we can't put ourselves back together, and the world certainly can't put us back together. All of us have tried that already. Day in and day out, we've tried to find a way to be whole again. But we can keep looking day in and day out. It will do us no good until we repent and believe. We just have to repent and believe in the gospel. And until we do this, we will find ourselves in a constant search, trying to find the next best thing, trying to find the next best person, trying to find whatever it is that we think may make us whole again. Here's the issue for many of us. We want to see what God can offer us and not what we can offer Him. As we have witnessed the story of redemption today, we've heard it through song, we've heard it in the words in John 3:16 through 21, our failure often comes in that we still see it as what God owes us and not that we have failed Him. In His creation, which He created, we're the ones who failed, not Him. As we obviously see here, we have failed Him, so our failure requires something of us. Our failure requires repentance. That word repentance holds more to it than just forgiveness, though. That word repentance means to change, to turn from our sins, and to turn to Jesus. When we repent, we are seeking a new life, a different life, not the same old person. It's not, Lord, forgive me, and I'll go about my business and you go about yours. Repentance is a change. It requires something of us. When we repent and we seek that new life, we now live in the grace of God. We now have no condemnation for our sin, but we have to continue to live in that life. For one who lives in the grace of God, we want to please our God. We want to live for our God. We want to be a part of our God. And here's the truth. When we sin, we go back to our brokenness. When we sin, we go back to a life of unpleasing, of separation from God. Friends, I don't know about you, but once I've been broken and made whole, I don't want to go back to being broken. What God did for us is set in stone. But if we're seeking true repentance, it changes us. He died on the cross so that we could have an opportunity to live. God doesn't condemn us, friends. We've already condemned ourselves because of what we did in Genesis 3 when we fell. You see, in our condemnation, God doesn't seek to leave us in this place. He doesn't seek to forget about us. He doesn't seek to say, they're broken, leave them alone. God desires for us to not perish, to live a life for Him. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. God's desire for us is repentance. God's desire for us is to live for Him. God wants to save us. And after all that, God helps us to recover and pursue His design for our lives. He doesn't leave us there. He takes us farther. So let's reflect a bit back to the first sermon of this series, God's design. He designed for all of us as a human race to have a relationship with Him. He set the Garden of Eden with hopes that Adam and Eve would live in His design, but they failed and they sinned and they departed from God's design. We as His people now must seek to recover that design. We must seek constant communion with the Father. We must seek that relationship. We must live for that relationship. Think of some of the barriers that may stand in the way in your own life of seeking God's design. You see, when we become saved, God removes those barriers from our life. First, He removes the heart of stone that gives us a heart of flesh. And they find that in Ezekiel 36:26 when Scripture says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. Here we are reminded of the evil of our heart, the sin of our heart, the desires of our heart that are not of God. The hatred, the anger, the lust, the addictions. Our heart has been made corrupt by the sin of the world. But He's the only one who can give us a new heart. The most amazing blessing is that God has promised that when we repent and believe in Him, He does give us that new heart. And we can remember that we do not have the power to clean our own heart or to create in ourselves a new heart. Only that God can give us a new heart. You see, that removes the power from us and puts it onto God, which He is the one who is able. Through this clean heart, we can have a way back to His design. And secondly, we'll find that in His Spirit indwells and empowers us. When we come to know Him, when we repent and believe, His Spirit is with us. It lives within us. You see, when Jesus ascended into heaven and He left us with a gift. In Acts 1:8, Scripture says, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth." He left us the power of His Holy Ghost. This gives us hope that we may do what we once saw as impossible. His Spirit will lead us, His Spirit will guide us, and His Spirit will make it possible. Third, He restores us to the way that we were supposed to be. He reconciles us and repairs what was broken. 2 Corinthians 5:17 through 21. I'm just going to read verse 17 to us. It says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." You see, what God does for us is He creates in us a new man, a new woman. Through this path, we can finally achieve God's design for our life. But then He leaves us with a faithful truth, a truth that carries for the ages. One of the most important things in this is that when we have been made new, in being made new, now we are God's ambassadors to a broken world. So the choice is yours now, really. You most certainly find yourself in one walk of life or in another walk of life. Either you find yourself today walking with the Father. You're saved. And I go back to the question I asked in the introduction. What are you doing with it? Because as we see here, upon repentance, upon believing, we are His ambassadors. Meaning we are going to the ends of the earth to share His good news. And if we're not doing that, if we're not living a life in which is being an ambassador for our God, then what did our repentance and believing really mean to us? Did it really mean anything? You see, it has to be important to us. It has to mean something. And if you're saved today and you say, "God's design is where I'm at," but you're not going any farther, then you aren't living in the will of the Father. Now, today maybe you say, "What does it even mean to leave it at Calvary?" The thought of the song we just heard. What does it mean to leave it at Calvary? Well, think of repenting and believing for a minute. Your sins, all the things that have corrupted your life, the things that have stood in the way of you living in God's design. Taking those things, repenting of those things, meaning, what did we say? Turning away from those things. Living a new life, becoming a new creature. If we're not turning away from those things, and we're not becoming a new creation in Him, then we can never achieve God's design. So to leave it at the cross is for us to take those sins, repent of those sins, leave them there, and begin to live for Him. So I pray today, you say, "I've been taking this truth," but if you find yourself stagnant, not carrying this hope, come to the foot of the cross today. Pray that God would give you opportunities to carry His hope. Pray that God would place people in your life in which need to hear this hope. And maybe you say, "I don't even have this hope." I pray today that you would come to the cross. that you would seek repentance on your life, that He may make a new creation out of you. Don't wait another day without repenting and believing in what Christ has done, and begin a new life today as you seek to live in God's design for you. Now, for those of you that have been here, you know that the prayer cards are up on the corner for the last 2 weeks. We've given you an opportunity to come up, fill out a prayer card, and to pray for opportunities to share the gospel with those people. Many, a lot of new faces here today with Little Ed Sunday, and I just want to encourage you guys that if you don't share His hope, if you don't have those opportunities, but you say, I'd like those opportunities because I want to live in the will of God, would you come up to the corners here today? Would you get one of the prayer cards? Put a name, put three names, whatever you want to put down, and pray that God would give you opportunities to pour into these people's lives, to share the gospel with them. And if you don't know Him today, would you see what miraculous hope He's done in us? And would you come today? Let's pray as Brother Marty comes. Father God, we're thankful for the hope in which You have given us. Father, that You didn't leave us in our brokenness. Father, You didn't leave us in a place in which we couldn't recover, but You gave us a hope. You gave us a truth, and that in Your Son going to the cross and dying for our sins, we can receive hope. We can become a new creation. So, Father, I pray today, if there's one here who isn't made new, Father, would they come today? Father, if there's one here who isn't living in the hope that You have given them, they're not sharing Your truth, they're not being an ambassador for You, Father, would they come? Father, if there's just one here who's hurting, they just see the hope that You've given them. They may be living for You. They may be being an ambassador. But Father, they just want to come to the foot of the cross. Father, would they come? Father, be with us. Lead us through this time. May Your Spirit dwell in our hearts, and may we listen to its call. And I say this in Your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. Would you stand with me?